I'm going to continue. I did this a couple of weeks ago, talked about the Eucharist, because it's just, that's a subject that's always on my heart. I can honestly tell you that the Eucharist has changed my life completely and totally because of how powerful it is. And it's the words that are in the Eucharist. Sometimes, you know, when we do the Eucharist and I'm not doing it, but I'm part of it, and I'm looking and watching people, people are checking out. And I understand that, but I don't really understand that. Because the words of the liturgy and the Eucharist are just so powerful. Sometimes when I'm doing the Eucharist, y'all may see me struggle to take the next step, to say the next thing. And it's because the words that I just read so impact me on the inside, on such a major way. And I've told the Lord, if I start checking out on a regular basis, if the liturgy of the Eucharist becomes nothing to me, you know, it just comes right, ritual or whatever, then please, just kill me, get it over with, take me home. I mean, you know, I'm 70 years old. I'm going home soon. You know, it's not like I've got, you know, I know I don't have another 50 years here. God, I hope not. So, it's going to be hard enough with all the mistakes I've made to get in heaven like it is. So, because it's the words are so powerful, and every time I read the words and just slow it down in my own heart and think about it, they just so impact me. If you was here when I did the very first part of this, you'll remember that the way the Eucharist opens is it is just all this like stuff about God, you know, and then reminding us that we're sinners, you know. And now a lot of us don't want to be sinners. You know, we don't want to be reminded, and so we'll hide from the fact that we're sinners, you know. Because we haven't gotten it yet. See, if we get it, how much God's love for sinners is, and so how much it impacts him when someone who's sinned realizes it and comes to him. It's one of the most, it impacts heaven as nothing else that we can possibly do. Because it says, you know, that the angels rejoice when someone comes to Christ. And God rejoices when we get this, that his love is so beyond our understanding in a normal sense that we get it in that moment when we realize that we can come to him and be completely and totally embraced in his love with forgiveness. And so in the first part, that's kind of what we're dealing with. You know, we're told you what's the first and second great commandments, you know, which... I don't know about you guys, but whenever I get kind of stupid and think that I've kind of got somewhere, I may have had a couple of good days, so I'm kind of pretty righteous in my own eyes and stuff. And then I read that, or I participate in the liturgy where it says the first command is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, you know, like, then love your neighbor. And, you know, it's an extreme rarity that we can say that we've actually fulfilled that law, those laws. I can pretty much tell you I never do. Sometimes I love my neighbor. You know, sometimes I love God, but not my neighbor so much. But I always have an issue with all my heart, because I realize there's more that I could give to him. There's more love that I could show to him, because my comparison of my love given to him winds up being his love given to me. And I realize he gave it all. He gave everything and hung on the cross for me. And so it always brings me up short and go like, oh, well, nah, just kind of thought I was doing good. Maybe not. But then we have the confession. We have this in the confession. We have not loved you with our whole heart, or loved our neighbors as ourselves. You know, like, whew, forgiven and loved and embraced and drawn in to his kingdom, to be sitting at his feet, at be before the altar, and being able to be full of Christ. So that's the very first things in the Eucharist liturgy. And it's kind of divided up in sections like that. The next part, if I can turn to the page of the next part. So it's the preparation of the gifts. And as I was looking at that and thinking about that, it says, blessed are you, Lord God, King of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become the body of Christ. I was struck this morning by reading that you know, God, that's a reminder, guys. That's a reminder that you and all of creation is a part of his redemptive story. He could have done something different. You know, like in the Old Testament, he did manna. It wasn't fruit of the earth, but in Christ, it's a reminder that he was fully man, total, complete man, but he was also fully God. And so no matter where we're at, we're part of that redemption story of what he's doing. We don't have, don't misunderstand, we have nothing to do with redemption. That's solely the work of Christ himself. And that's where some people get off, some Catholics get off into the co-redemptiveness of Mary. Mary, let me just tell you, Mary is not co-redemptive, and neither are we. But we do, just like her, she participated by offering all that she was and all that she had to God. And so Christ was born from a woman. And it's the same with us. When we offer all that we have and all that we are, somehow we become kind of involved in this thing. We become the part of the family. I mean, he adopts us in, and we're not separated from him. We're a part of him. Then we have basically the same thing being said about the wine. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become the blood of Christ. Fruit of the wine, fruit of the vine, and work of human hands. See, we have a part that we play in this grand play that God has laid out for us to live. We just live our life. And when we live our life, giving all that we have to Christ and allowing him to live all of his life through us, then we're a part of the whole thing. Now, I don't understand that. And like if we've got theologians on the Ustream thing listening, they're going to probably kill me. They'll probably, you know, hang me out to dry on theological issues about that. But it's just who we are. We are in Christ. We're not separated from Christ. We're in Christ and Christ is in us. And anytime we feel that separation because of something that we may have done or thought or whatever, we have redemption in his blood. And it's simple to just go to him. And we're back restored back again as a full 100% member of the body of Christ, adopted completely and totally into his family. And so when God looks at us as individuals, he doesn't see us being a part. He sees us as Christ. He sees Christ as being a part of him and his redemption story. So that's the next part of our Eucharist. And then as we begin to actual the Eucharist prayers and the consecration of elements, we do this, which is just, you wonder, this kind of got stuck in there, and it's like, and I used to wonder, why did God, you know, the people do this? Why did the Holy Spirit work with the people who did our liturgies and stuff over the years and stuff? Why did they kind of stick this in here right now? It's kind of like a break. But it's because God knows that he needs to, like, give us little short breaks, because otherwise we'll just run over stuff. And that's our tendency, is to run over stuff. But it's the acclamations of the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Those three statements right there should change your life every day. Think about that. The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. Not separated from you. Not apart from you. Not down the street or upstairs. But Lord be with you at all times and every second and microsecond of your life. The Lord be with you. If you get that he really is, then lift up your hearts because of what? Why do you lift up your hearts? Because the Lord's with you. You have reason to do that. It's not a ritual. The reason you lift up your hearts is because the Lord is with you. And he's accomplished all these things just for you. And so when we say that, words, when we hear that words from a celebrant, says the Lord be with you, it should cause us to lift up our hearts. We shouldn't have to be told to lift up our hearts. We should be like ready to shout. And then let us give thanks to the Lord of God. That reminds us he's with us because of what he has done, not what we have done, not who we are or what we're doing or anything else. So we should give him thanks that he has redeemed us, that he has provided for us. And so in the Eucharist, we have all these things going on. When I was first coming into the CEC and learning about the Eucharist, a priest told me, said the Holy Eucharist, and actually our entire service, is it's like a play that's going on. And the reason some of it is the way it is, and we have these, Lord be with you, and you respond, and these responses and stuff, is because, you know, until, what, maybe 75 years ago or 100 years ago, most people didn't read. 200 years ago, there's very few people that could actually read. Most, that's when we're talking about 2,000 years ago. The ability to read was real small. But they could understand visually what was going on. And they could understand if they participated. See, the liturgy, the liturgy, the word liturgy means work of the people, not the work of the clergy. It's your work. And so the more you understand liturgy and understand that you have your role is vital as much as a priest's role is or any clergy's role is to the liturgy. And when you fully participate and you get caught up into the liturgy, it's pretty cool, at least for me. It's like something that totally has changed my life as I've learned more about it and as I've given myself more freely to the words, not to the paper, not to the rituals, not to the rites, but as I've given myself, it compels me, I guess, to really know that there's more to give to Christ. There's more to give to him. Because in this, he shows us again and again and again that he has given all to us in his body and in his blood. And he reminds us of that every time we participate. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.